Hello and welcome. Today I've got with me Mr. Ben Beaumont.
Good afternoon.
Who works in professional development. And I'd like to ask him a few questions about his thoughts on curriculum design and the sort of things that surround that. So, Ben.
Hello.
Hello. What's the things do you think are important to take into consideration when designing curriculum?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Peter, because the course I teach on the CertEd PGC has just recently undergone a major revision, and I've just been redesigning the first year of the course.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of things I really wanted to think about when I was designing the course. First was what was going to be practically useful for the students on the course. It's a vocational course, they're training to become teachers, so in my view as course leader, what do I think is necessary for them to be able to do and what skills to demonstrate in order to become a good teacher? That's one thing. So it's my professional opinion, I suppose, as part of it, based on my experience as a teacher and trainer. As well as that, there's also the outcomes from the university, which is linked very closely to the assignment briefs.
Right.
The university require students to demonstrate things in order to get the award. And pragmatically speaking, that's what students are here to do, to get this award. So as well as what I think is necessary, my opinion about how to interpret what a good teacher is, I've got to blend that with the university requirements. And in that respect, I kind of work backwards from the assessment criteria. What do the university want to see? So I look at the outcomes, the assessment, and maybe what I think is important. And also, perhaps crucially, taking into account feedback from students as well. What I think is important is one thing, and indeed the course teams. It's not just me who thinks about what's important. But also, what do students think is important? You've got students who might be working in supported learning, in workplace environments, places where I've never been. So I think taking their views into account through course committee meetings, student feedback, all of that helps me influence how I put a course together.
Right.
Quite a few things, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Okay, and not the only things as well.
No.
Society, justice, inclusion, government policy, all of these things are fundamental.
Okay, lovely. Just moving on then. So you've got your curriculum, you've designed your curriculum. What sort of aspects, what sort of things do you think about when you're working at how to make sure learning is happening on your course and the teaching and also the assessment?
How do I make sure learning happens? I suppose you do that by... Well, it's a very difficult question. How do we learn, you could ask. I think we learn by being engaged, by being stimulated, by developing higher-order thinking skills.
So a curriculum that encompasses those,
definitely,
those sort of,
yeah,
qualities.
And I suppose the teaching should facilitate learning that does all those kinds of things, yeah. But very much practical, very engaging and participatory learning.
And I suppose as far as the assessment on the course is concerned, that's really laid down by Westminster, is it?
Pretty much. We have the outcomes, but we're able to interpret the outcomes to a certain degree. So the university might say they want students to present something. Where it may be able to say, should they present it individually or as a group? Should it be an actual presentation or could it be a video presentation? Could it be maybe in some cases a professional discussion, a dialogue? So we can be a little bit flexible with some of them, some of the assignments.
So whereas traditionally students would on a course would probably work on their own, basically getting assignments done, things, then...
I mean, when I took over, if I take my own experience, when I took over running the CertEd, it was a lot more written assignment focused, and there were far more written assignments, but we've been able to conflate those assignments and also include a variety of different types of assessment. I think it's very important on the course I teach on, the teacher training course, that we model different types of assessments so we can see how different assessments might be used. We all know how we can do a written assessment, but how would you do a recording, a video, a dialogue, a role play, a poster? These are all valid ways to assess learning, and I think it's good to get exposure to those on my type of course. Not all courses, but on the course that I run.
I was going to ask, what do you think are the benefits for the trainees on the course in terms of the way you assess in different ways, like that, rather than just writing assignments?
Well, I think several things. The primary purpose for me is that candidates get exposure to different types of assessment. Mm. And through different types of exposure or different assessments, we're able to critically evaluate how effective they are in different teaching subjects. You know, someone on who's just signed up for the course is a motorcycle instructor. Mm. Now, a written assessment is going to be rubbish for them. Yeah. But equally, there's someone who teaches an FE on the course. HE, rather. So practically riding a motorcycle isn't going to be that effective either. So there's that. But also, different learners react differently to different types of assessment.
Right.
So where some learners might appreciate written stuff, others would appreciate more practical stuff, I think to have all of one or none of the other is perhaps not the best way. A variety is probably the best way forward.
Can you talk a little bit about the sort of resources that you use in your curriculum and what sort of...
Yes. I mean, I tend to... I use a lot of paper-based resources in class. I'm a big one for handouts, but not handouts for information, but handouts which gets candidates to do things, or handouts with tasks on them, and I tie that into the input. That's pretty much the way my teaching style. However, I do use online resources. I'm using more of them, and it's something I want to develop my use of as a personal action point.
And what about sort of blended and flip learning?
Yes, love it. More blended, more flip. Something I want to integrate more of, and hopefully the candidates on my courses will see evidence of this.
Lovely. Okay. In terms of inclusivity and supporting learners, what sort of things do you think are important?
Well, as mentioned earlier, I think the assignments, having a variety of assignment briefs or types of assignment, is quite inclusive. But also just making sure resources are available in advance if necessary, or if learners have problems seeing a board, they, instead of looking at the board, they have a handout, or that we use audio if necessary. I think really asking students what works for them. I think it's not a good idea to think this person has dyslexia, therefore I must use colour-coded handouts. Far better, I think, to ask them what they prefer, and then adapt my teaching to meet their needs. So I wouldn't want to be prescriptive in doing a particular thing. I suppose I'd only be prescriptive in saying, ask the student what works for them, and then make sure you teach to meet their needs. Was it Rita Dunn said, if the student's not learning the way you're teaching, teach the way the learner learns.
Lovely. Okay, so just finally then, just a little bit about progression and progression routes. Now, on the Cert Ed, there are well-defined progression routes, so they're not...
The hope is that people get full-time jobs as teachers, and that they generally do get contracts, and that's a very positive point about the course. If they want to go into a specialist field, maybe teaching disabled learners, literacy, ESOL, numeracy, then there are additional diplomas they can do. If it's more academic work, they can go on and study the MA in Education and Training at the University of Westminster, for example. Credits for the Cert Ed and PGCE can be put over towards that MA, making the course of study shorter and cheaper. But there are also management options as well. So you have lots of management training that you could go on if you wanted to pursue that particular element. So yeah, a variety of things. But I think the first thing really post-course is to just build the foundation of teaching experience and move on from there.
Ben.
Peter.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. It's been a very interesting conversation. I look forward to asking the same questions of you soon.